afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, June 15th, 2020. Dave Allen is still under the weather, so he'll be back on Wednesday, and I do appreciate Mr. Paul for joining me today. Wow. Good afternoon, Mr. Paul.
How formal we're getting here, Miss Cedarstrom. I tell you what.
Yes, it's good sir-y. To be with you.
It's always fun to be with you. It really is. I always enjoy the broadcast.
Well, I hope we bring some serious stuff and information to the listeners. And we get in trouble from time to time, but that's okay, too.
Well, I hope we make a smile once in a while, too, when they hear that we're just people like everybody else.
Well, I'll tell you what, when we live in a world where, I mean, there's always things to smile about, but, you know, the country and the world are having a tough time. And gold today had a little bit of a tough time. Down 520, but actually it had an incredible day. Well, right now in the asking price of the New York spot market, we have 1726, down 520, but the low was 1702. 1702 was the low, so it had a really nice recovery. Silver is down 11 pennies at $17.48. We saw the same type of trade on for silver. We had a low of 1692, so nice recovery, even though we're still a little bit in the red. Platinum was up $7 at $817. Palladium was up 22 at $1,993. USDX today is down 0.34 at 96.74. Crude oil was up 78 cents at 37.04. And you know, I got something on crude oil. The U.S. has already lost more than 100,000 oil and gas jobs.
Wow.
And these are not jobs that are laid off, you know, because they were shut down. They claim it was a pre and a post-COVID-19 various levels. But the jobs were coming off prior to the virus shutdowns. So, but 100,000, and I get a lot of these states, Louisiana and Texas, you know, are the ones that have been hit the hardest.
Those are good paying jobs, too.
These are good paying jobs, absolutely. And these are also jobs that I would think would be, you know, until oil prices really do move up, I mean, they're pretty much permanent. They're just not the furloughed folks. Let's go ahead and get to the paper markets. You know, early morning trade, you had the Dow down 500-600 points. But we'll tell you why that turned around. Two words. Federal Reserve. But anyway, the Dow was up 157 points today at 25,763. The NASDAQ was up 137 at 9,726. The S&P was up 25 at 3,066. 10-year yield held 0.70%. We have Japan was down 3.5%. Hong Kong was down a little over 2%. And you have London and Germany, they were down, but still all under 1%. But let me see if I can bring up my report on why the Federal Reserve made the market turn around, because we know they were buying corporate bonds, but that was in the ETFs. But now they said today it will start buying individual corporate bonds. So, you know, that's when the stock market went higher. And on the news, as did, and the ETFs that track both the investment grade and junk indexes. So now the Federal Reserve is expanding its foray into corporate credit to now buy individual corporate bonds. This is part of this continuing effort to support this market functioning, to keep this market functioning, and ease credit conditions. The program has the ability to buy up to $750 billion worth of corporate credit. Almost $1 trillion, which likely will be over $1 trillion. Now, March 23rd was the initial announcement. It's largely considered a watershed moment for the financial markets. And, hey, after a 1,800-point drop last week, I guess they had to pull something out of their hat.
So just spend some more money. Just spend some more money. Make some more credit. Good answer.
Yep. So now they're going to go in and save these corporations. It really is. And the market just goes up because they love it. It's just, the stocks initially jumped. You know, this was made about 2 o'clock. You know, it did come down somewhat. You know, it did cool off, you know, going into the close. But I think everybody gets it. I mean, you have to spend almost $1 trillion and start buying individual corporate bonds?
Melody, how can that work?
There's something wrong.
How can that work? How can that work? I mean, how's that going to continue? How are they going to continue doing this? I mean, well, that's a dumb question. They're doing everything else. Why not do this too? But it's just more credit. But how often do you have to do this to get everybody bailed out?
They'll keep doing it until they can't.
Well, you know, they have really been good at maneuvering this for the last several months, many years. But ever since September, they started investing money, and they're going to do it for a couple of weeks and kept on going and going and going. Now we're trillions of dollars invested in credit further than we were. I'm amazed. And this just goes further to prove the market is a bunch of hot air, because this is fixing nothing and causing much more problems. If the market were a real market, it'd be dropping like a rock.
You know, we used to think that, you know, people had confidence in the U.S. dollar. I think now it's confidence in the Federal Reserve. And they will continue any type of program. They will pull out anything that they can. And I can't understand how anyone could feel confident about that. There's no way we can grow ourselves out of our problem. Heaven forbid if interest rates start creeping up. But then the Fed will just, you know, adjust whatever program they need to adjust to keep them lowered. But every time they do that, I mean, we're looking at things that they're doing at our GDP, our debt to GDP. I mean, we're going back to both world wars. And it doesn't seem like anybody cares. That's the problem.
No one talks about it. It's not even talked about.
It's not even talked about.
I mean, if you watch the campaign ads and the nation's turning around, and, you know, Trump's pulling us out of the hole again, and it's going on and on. I mean, just getting better and better, and obviously the market thinks so too. But nothing's ever discussed about. Well, they can't discuss it. What are they going to discuss? What are they going to say? How can they answer this? There's nothing they can say.
They're going to say, well, folks, you're in trouble. You better get your money out of there. And again, that would create the biggest run and everything. So you're right. They can't do that. They should. But the ones that should be doing it are the financial planners. Those are the folks that deal with people on an individual basis, retirees, and they know better. And they're not doing anything to help their people. And they're the ones that I think, I mean, yeah, we know what the Federal Reserve is going to say and do. We know what the federal government's going to do. And you know, they're going to try to keep their little, they cannot have any panic. My Lord, can you imagine any panic now on top of these protests and riots? If we added panic, financial market panic. My heavens, it's coming, but not today. Your financial planners, and I know they all have bosses, and they have to go by, you know, what they're told to do and what products to sell. They're told to do that and instructed. But somewhere along the line, these financial planners should make a commitment to protecting their clients instead of just saying, we're putting you in this and you'll be protected. And it's so, so wrong. But, hey, people got to take control of their own finances, too.
That's very true. I mean, when it comes right down to it, we've been duped, no doubt about it. But when it comes right down to it, it's our own fault. We should be watching our own finances. We shouldn't trust somebody else with what we're trying to do. I understand looking for advice. I understand that. But when it comes to the point where you start seeing these things, anyone that wants to see these, that has any inkling of anything about financial, can see through this facade. This is a facade. It has been for years, and they keep on propping it up with toothpicks, and it's getting very heavy, and it's going to break. It's going to break. I don't know when. I don't know how, but it's going to break. COVID-19, whether it's a real virus, but it's a hyped up virus. They look to what did the economy worldwide. We haven't come back from that yet, Melody. This isn't like it was back in January. Nothing's the same. People still aren't working. Millions are still out of work. Nothing's happened. Nothing's really changed. We'll discuss more in a minute. Other businesses are going bankrupt. Nothing has changed for the better yet. Maybe some folks are back to work. The overall economy, it has not come back very much at all. It hasn't.
No, I mean, we're going to see a gradual comeback, of course. I mean, when you have, you know, the population of this country laid off, yeah, you're going to see it come back. It's not jobs being created. It's people just going back to work. But there's a lot of those jobs that will not be there for folks.
That's right. That's
and
right.
We won't know. We probably won't know those numbers until come this fall. So.
Between now and election, anything could happen.
Between now and, yes, exactly.
Yeah, anything could happen. It could happen. But speaking of something kind of strange happened, I got to share this and we'll move on. But I thought this is kind of humorous, but it isn't humorous. Poland accidentally invaded a Czech Republic. Did you hear about that?
You know what? I saw the headline, but I didn't read it because I thought I kind of chuckled myself.
Invasion. It said Poland actually invaded Czech Republic in minor misunderstanding. You'd be forgiven for not knowing that the Polish military recently invaded and briefly occupied territory in the Czech Republic. Seems like a headline news, sure, but it appears that even the Polish troops didn't know what they were doing. A spokesperson for the Czech Foreign Ministry confirmed to NPR on Saturday that Polish soldiers mistakenly deterred our citizens from entering a church on the Czech territory in close vicinity of the Czech-Polish borders. Oops. I mean, I'm glad it turned into a war, but
I remember a long time ago we'd be able to make a joke, but we can't anymore.
I know.
Oh, remember,
yeah.
All the Polish.
Oh, I remember those.
Hey,
I'm
Italian, and there used to be a lot of Italian jokes.
You had WAP jokes, right? You had WAP jokes, right? You had WAP jokes. Yeah.
WAP jokes.
Yeah, but people so easily offend him, you can't do anything funny. You know, I mean, but I just thought it was kind of it wasn't funny, but it was. And I thank God nobody was hurt, really. But I mean, we accidentally took over your country. Okay, we'll move on now. But all right, folks. I'm going to try to get straight now. I really am, but that's really a big one. That's a big one.
Maybe we should try that with Mexico.
Let's take a Tijuana. We didn't mean to, but anyway.
Oh,
you know, this is interesting. I copied this off the share because this is police spending per capita in major U.S. cities. And guess what the number one city was? I would never thought this. In spending per capita for policemen. Baltimore spend more than any other city for policing the people. $904 per person per year in Baltimore. Followed by New York City, Chicago, which I thought Chicago and New York would lead the pack. Detroit, Atlanta, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, and Houston are the top 7 or 8 cities that spend money per capita per citizen. But I wouldn't have thought Baltimore would be the number one in the pack. I really wouldn't. Chicago, New York, I thought would be probably number one. But Baltimore,
I would think Baltimore would be in line with Chicago as far as corruption. So
yeah,
I would think a lot of that money goes into pockets.
Almost $300.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
You just
know for sure.
Almost $300 per person more in Baltimore than in Chicago. So, yeah. I thought it's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that. I really wouldn't have. But I haven't been to Baltimore. Oh my gosh, since as a kid, I reckon. So I don't know about that. No. I preached up there one time about 20 years ago. I remember that now. It's a different place. It's a lot different than Eddy, West Virginia.
Yes, just a tad.
Just a tad.
Just a tad. Yes.
I mean, you feel kind of strange. The person we stayed with had a little townhouse, a little narrow apartment, with little narrow steps going upstairs. But anyway, it's just a tiny place. When you sit in a bedroom, your head was on the street, so to speak. The window is right on the street. And people walking down the street all night long, talking and hollering, right at your window, right at your head. That didn't feel comfortable to me. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
I mean, there's a small pane of glass between you and whoever's out there. That just didn't feel right to me. So, but I remember that trip. Now that I've got to think about it. So it's just,
yeah,
Baltimore
is not one of my favorites. And if there's anybody living in Baltimore, we don't mean to offend you. But they have some nice areas in there. The harbor is a nice little place to go to. And, of course, you have John Hopkins, and you have everybody from around the world. It's not owned by anybody in the U.S. It's now owned mainly by the Saudis.
Oh,
and,
that's
it was amazing when my cousin had, when he had his open heart surgery, he went to John. It's a good hospital. It's a very good hospital. If I had to have surgeries, it's probably where I would go. But and I was there up there visiting, and there was this entourage of must have been 20 vehicles with ambulances. So the roads were shut down. The police were there to, turn all the traffic lights off. And it was coming to the hospital, and I was in a cab because we had to wait for all this. And the driver told me, he says, yeah, he says, that's probably one of the Saudi Arabia princes or, someone higher up. He says, because that's what they do when they come to town. They have these, 20 vehicle things. He says, when senators and congressmen come to the hospital, they just go in a regular taxi.
Oh, wow.
And I just thought it was just, the entourage of vehicles and protection and, the ambulances, and it was kind of amazing. So
it really
that's,
is. Well,
yeah.
It's a
but that's
it's
who
a
owns John
world.
Hopkins.
Different world today. It is.
Yep.
And I know it's about break time. We're going to start another story, but I guess we'll take the break because I want to talk about this. The collapse of Democratic-run cities who are going to kick out the police. Truckers say they're not going to deliver there. They're not going to go there. It's interesting.
I saw a comment where somebody says, they'll just shut down 9/11 for a couple days. 9/11. We'll be right back,
work.
Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. We'll be right back.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And Silver Eagles, I saw a little bit of pricing come down a little bit. But hang in there, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's just... premiums are too high. You're paying over spot. And I just did a quick number. You're paying, you know, if you're paying $29 divided by 17, you're paying over 60% over spot.
Are they going $29 now? Are they going $29 seriously?
Yes. Why do you think I've been saying we need to boycott them and bring those prices down? It can be done.
Wow.
It's not there's a lack of them, contrary to what you probably hear. It's that they're the wholesalers are controlling the market.
Gee, whiz.
So, I mean, if I can get them, mine would cost little over $24.
That's ridiculous. And a spot is $17.40-something.
Yeah. But that's how much premium is wholesale.
Wow.
That's how much premium is wholesale. So, again, and you know what? I get it. People are anxious. They want to get rid of those fiat dollars, and they want to get something. You know, waiting is, you know, I get the urgency, but you'll be okay. And there is other silver products to buy. There's plenty of silver products to purchase. You just don't have to stick on those Silver Eagles. And I know there's folks out there that are just saying, oh, that's the only two coins you want, the Gold Eagle and this. No, it isn't. That's coming from someone that isn't in the business. And they might have another agenda. Maybe that's the only thing they sell. I don't know. But no, I mean, you want to get as much product as you can for your dollars. It's just common sense. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. In pre-1933 coins, I did some comparisons on the $10 Liberty gold pieces versus their larger partner, the $20 gold pieces and the Liberties. You can go all the way up to a Mint State 63, $10 Liberty gold piece, and the price is lower than what the $20 gold piece is in Mint State 63. So why is that important? Every time you go down in the size of the coin, you pay more. The smaller you go, the more you pay. So usually those $10 gold pieces will sell for a lot more than the $20 Liberty. And when you can buy them below that price, it's a great, great buy. So I'm talking 63 $10 Liberty gold pieces is the buy because it's lower than the $20 Liberty in Mint State 63. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Butch?
Well, this article I thought was kind of interesting and sad, too. Collapse of Democrat run cities now imminent as truckers say they will refuse delivering to cities with defunded police. Say God bless the truckers. News is breaking today that nearly 4 out of 5 truckers across America refuse to make deliveries to cities where Democrats have defunded or abolished the police. Truckers are the lifelines of cities, bringing food, fuel, medicine, and other essential items in the cities, which are artificial constructs that depend on imports just to survive. Sadly, truckers get little credit for their crucial role in keeping society running. And truckers put their lives at risk when they roll into Democrat-run cities that are collapsing into Black Lives Matter chaos and terrorism. BLM is now understood to mean burn, loot, and murder. But the truckers said, we're not going to deliver to towns where they're unsafe. And I can't blame them, LD. They're responsible not only for the material they're hauling and the truck that they drive, but also for their lives. They can't drive into towns where they might be torched or killed. I understand their concern on this. So maybe the people that think about are taking away all the police and doing something totally idiotic and to the extreme might not think, but maybe they might want to eat something next week. And if the truckers won't come into the cities, no food will make it to the cities. It's just that simple. And I wonder how they're getting food into the 6 square blocks in Seattle. Do they open up the gates, let food in, are the city officials allowing that to supply them with food and all they need and let them just continue in the merry way? What's going on there? How come no one's saying, all right, we'll just starve you out? I don't get this. I don't understand how this is working. I don't understand why people aren't upset that 6 square blocks of the town have been taken over by mafia. That's what these places, they're black thugs, they're mafia. And I'm, listen, folks, I'm not, police have gotten out of hand in many cases, and that's a fact, and that's no doubt about it. But you can't let a 6 block area of people that are totally not involved be taken into this and taken over by a mob rule. Now, you just can't do that. And the mayor and the governor of that state ought to be corrected.
Fired.
Yeah, fired. At least be fired. But I just wonder how they're getting food into that place. Why they still got the borders around that 6 blocks open to let them be able to get food in. You know, after 2 or 3 weeks, they're out of food. The stores aren't getting any stores there are getting nothing to come in. How they maintain it? That's my question. Who's supplying them to maintain this farce?
Food, water,
yeah, everything. You know, they may have to have gasoline if they're getting outside the 6 square blocks. Ben, how about the ones that have to leave there to go to work? Are they allowed to come and go? Those are just questions in my mind. What's going on? You can't live in a six block island and be self sufficient. It isn't going to happen. So there's a question come to my mind. I don't see anybody else addressing them. I don't see it on the news. Hey, these people are taking food in, these folks. I don't see it mentioned anywhere. Do you?
No, I don't.
So why isn't somebody asking how these people are living? How are they making it? That's a fair question. But I haven't heard.
Well, I saw
no
some tents go in. Well, they probably go shopping during the day. They probably send out their crew to go shopping and everything. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they took over businesses in order to, or maybe some places to where they cook, or they burn down Wendy's.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Huh? I don't understand how this is working. Somebody's really being very lenient when they shouldn't be. But let's, I guess, move on from that. But no one seems to be asking these questions. No one seems to care all of a sudden. You know, you don't even hear it mentioned much about the news anymore. It's like it's happened. No big deal. Let's move on. Anyway,
I know it just is. It really is amazing how the American people have just rolled over.
Yeah, it is. They started with COVID.
And I know there's a lot that are saying, oh, well, I didn't roll over. I get that too. I didn't either. But, I mean, when you're looking at the people that live in that city, it really is amazing.
Somebody's got to be wondering where the supplies come from. I mean, surely somebody besides me thought of that.
No, I've thought of it too, Butch.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody had to. Somebody beside me had to think about this, how they supplying their needs.
Because that's what I thought. You know, let them get hungry, and then they'll just go away, and you know, let it get hot out. It's still pretty cool in Washington State.
It's being cool down here even. But somebody's supplying the need. Somebody's is going ahead and letting them go by at this, and not even trying to stop it.
Where are they going to the bathroom?
Yeah.
Where are they bathing?
I agree. I don't know. Good questions. But another sad one. I guess you saw this 24-hour fitness fouls for Chapter 11. You probably saw that.
I did.
You know, and the gym I joined, and they, of course, had to shut down a few months. I know they had to be hurting because they, you know, they suspended all memberships for, what, 2 months or longer, and no money coming in at all. But they are reopened and trying to get things going. But closure of non-essential businesses to arrest the spread of COVID-19 outbreak crushed the economy. This caused significant financial strain for many gym operators. As a result, several gyms filed for bankruptcy. Last month, it was Gold's Gym. Now it's 24-hour fitness worldwide. The most significant financial weight holding down fitness centers has been their lease obligations and heavy debt loads. As members cancel, and according to Bloomberg, approximately 30% of U.S. gym members are expected to drop their memberships this year. Fitness hut centers are swamped with unserviceable debt payments that will leave them no other choice than to restructure. And I was talking to one of the gentlemen at the gym the other day, where I go, and the people aren't come back like they hoped they would. And this article is right. A lot of them either afraid to come back or just lost interest, you know. I mean, it takes discipline to go to a gym and work out. It does. And it takes discipline. And I enjoy it. Once when I'm there, I wonder, what am I doing? Man, you're killing yourself. But when I'm done, I feel good. But these gyms are hurting because they depend on memberships. If they don't get the money in, they can't pay the rent. They can't pay the power bills. And these bills come due anyway. Rent comes due whether you're working or not. So this is really a sad situation. Another business bites the dust, so to speak, and starts trying to reorganize to stay open. It's just sad. It is sad.
It is, but you know what? And you know, people are hesitant to go into places like that anymore because it is a close. You know, it is close. You sweat. You spit. You know. You grunt, you groan, and all kinds of things. You know, I golf. I picked up golfing, so that's how I've been getting my outside. You don't have to worry about all that. So there are different things that people can do, but it is sad. It truly is sad.
And I have to say the gym is even cleaner now than it was before. They're really, really careful with that. And again, I enjoy it myself. I enjoy going. I don't be there very long, a half hour, 45 minutes at a time, three times a week, and I can tell a difference. Difference in the way I look and even the way I feel. So it's worth it. But I just hate to see anyone, a business that has worked for so long, getting this kind of bind. But it's happened, and it's going to happen a lot more. It's not over yet. And along the same lines, this is, I thought about this, but I didn't really think about it very deeply. Federal tax receipts show a record plunge in May, raising more doubt about employment data accuracy. And this is a sure sign of unemployment, even more than what the numbers the feds give us for the employment records. The monthly Treasury statement of May showed federal withhold income tax receipts falling a record 33% from the comparable period 1 year ago. The decline in May tax receipts exceeds to the 30% decline in April. Monthly tax gross receipts have been reported since 1973 in April, and making declines are the largest on record. Federal tax receipts are directly related to workers' paychecks. The scale of the decline in tax receipts is nearly three times the decline reported household and payroll employment. The unprecedented gap raises questions about the accuracy of the April and May employment reports. Obviously, they can't. This kind of, hey, look what we tried to cover up the fact that nobody's going back to work like they said they were. But now even the federal government says, hey, boys, these numbers are not correct. We're not getting any money coming in here. So that is a sure sign that this, nothing's turned around like they said it was going to. It just hasn't. That's all. It isn't working.
Well, it can't work because, you know, the system was already unfolding prior to the virus and the closed down. And when you look at this global economy, I mean, you hear economies, but, you know, you hear not economies, but countries opening up and so forth. And it's, you know, there's no other country doing better than we. China's not they can't do better than us because they depend on us to buy from them and vice versa. And the rest of the world, we all, you know, it's impossible to think. And when they shut down all of these nations, all these countries, I mean, things just don't go back to normal overnight.
No. They didn't just break one link in the chain. They broke the whole chain.
that is kind of like if, you know, you got $1,000 in your wallet and you lose your wallet. That $1,000 is gone and it's not coming back. You can go back to work and earn it and fill your wallet back up, but that initial $1,000, it's not coming back. And we're talking trillions of dollars to these economies. It's not coming back. It's something that's not going to be regained. Pardon?
You have bills to pay that $1,000, that means that you got to really hustle to make up for it.
Yeah. I mean, you just don't. And with the interest rates being so low, that hurts anybody who's trying to save money.
That's true.
I mean, it kills the savers. And I hear everybody's talking about, well, I'm pulling some of my money out and it's going into cash. Why are you going to hold it in cash? Your purchasing power declines. If you believe that we're in such a situation to where it's going to affect the value of our dollar, why would you want to hold dollars? This isn't 1933 where cash was king. Cash in 1933 was gold. There's a big difference.
Absolutely.
We're in the Depression. Until they took it from you.
At least until 64, it was worth silver, too.
Yes.
Worth something. Now it's worth paper.
So why hold on to those fiat dollars? What are they going to do for you? Oh, well, I'm sitting on a lot of cash. I'm just going to let it.
Let it what?
You may as well keep it in the stock market, because when the stock market crashes, so does the value of your dollar. So, anyway.
It is what it is. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And this next article, the COVID-19 pandemic, I never thought about this, has caused a global bicycle shortage.
Well, I told you I couldn't find a bicycle.
I don't remember that. You probably did, but I don't remember it. Mm-hmm. But this article, we got about 30 seconds break, but it says, while the rest of the economy was shutting down, bicycle shops across the world were seeing a drastic bump in business as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. Bicycle shops, deemed essential businesses in many states, saw demand explode after health-conscious people were locked out of the gyms and others were too fearful to ride mass transit. Bikes at large U.S. retailers like Walmart and Target have been missing from the shelves for weeks. Independent shops are also doing brisk business and are selling out bikes, according to AP. In fact, the last 2 years, bike sales have seen their large biggest spike since the oil crisis in the 1970s. Good for them.
We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Just real quick, Butch.
Okay. That's not bad. You've done worse. Go ahead.
I know. It was close, though. I just saw this headline, and it's how China has semi-autonomous fighting ground robots. I mean, this isn't a news story, but every time I see it, it's just... It's just disturbing, you know, but they're preparing to deploy small new tracked war robots armed with machine guns, night vision, missile loaders, camera sensors to conduct attacks while leaving manned systems at safer stand-off distances, you know. And it's like, it just irritates me because I can remember 25 years ago we were talking about all the trinkets that we get from China. And this is what they're doing. They have built up their military, and you know, they continue to do so. And I don't know. It's I don't know if we're number one military anymore, are we?
I don't know. I don't know that. Maybe things we don't know about, but as far as numbers go, obviously not. But you know what? Gorbachev said something back in the 60s or 50s. I don't remember when. I just remember the statement that they would sell us a rope, and we would hang ourselves, or something along those lines. Yeah. You know, that's what they don't say to China, that we prospered them right into being our strongest enemy.
Yeah.
And that's, what can I say? We did it. Whether intentional or unintentional, makes no difference. We did it. The businesses and the jobs we had here, because we produced our own, products, are gone, and they're not coming back. I don't care what anybody says, they're not coming back. And now we moved them to countries like China, and they're making up goods for us. But I remember when I was a teenager, anything that said made in Japan or whatever was considered junk. Nobody wanted it.
Yep.
Now you almost defy you to buy something made in America anymore. You go into a store. And I hate buying clothes. Nothing on the rack. It says your size, but it's never your size. They're all messed up. It's never the same. I saw one pair of in there, one that's made, I think, Bangladesh. I thought, my gosh, no wonder they don't fit right. They're not standard. So, but that's what we had today. And we let it happen. We sat here and watched it happen. NAFTA and GATT and all the other things going on. We sat here and watched it happen.
Yep.
We did, and we had people, even Ross Perot tried to warn us, but no one listened.
Things were already leaving, factories were already leaving this country. I mean, the EPA had a lot to do it, and when we became a little more, you know, regulated for the environment and so forth, you had factories begin to move and out of this country, but certainly the trade agreements, I mean, it was, Bush and the... You know, in the 80s, I mean, they've been working on the trade agreements for... These trade agreements just aren't made up overnight.
No, they're not.
All of these contracts, like the Patriot Act, the NDAA, and Obamacare, I mean, everybody thinks that these are, you know, done in a relatively short period of time. And, you know, maybe the way they work, particularly Obamacare, maybe that one was. Because it didn't work very well. But a lot of these, they've been there. I think that's my personal view, but you just can't tell me they didn't created the Patriot Act as quickly as they did.
Well, with all these other things you just mentioned, they started before you and I were born. Even they started working in that direction. I mean, it's been around for a long, long time.
Especially for me,
America has been undercut for a long time. It's been done intentionally. Obviously, we were the strongest. Most peaceful, prosperous nation in the world, and it couldn't go on that way. Greedy people wanted to do something different, and they did. But now, you know, I read an article that Caterpillar sales plunge most in a decade. Caterpillar has always been kind of a gauge, I guess you could say, on for heavy equipment producers, and when they were busy, it means that production was going on. It says, and while the CAT's impact may have changed in the past decade, it still remains an important beacon of trends in the industrial and manufacturing economy. And unfortunately, based on the latest published today, a lot of pain is coming. So if this is a harbinger of what's coming in this country, if the sales of Caterpillar has anything to do with that, it's not looking good for a country as far as in building and growth goes. It says North American sales plunged 36% on a rolling three-month basis, the most since January 2010, and far worse than 27% drop posted in April. And while sales in Latin America has the biggest decline since December 2016, and despite a modest slowdown and deterioration across Asia-Pac, which declined by just 1% following a 22% drop in March, as China has successfully re-emerged from February lockdown. Overall, global sales dropped the most since the start of 2010. So if this is true, they are this is a sign of what's coming in the country, the building industry as of right now. But Caterpillar, as you know, is, my gosh, it's been, I would say, by number one as far as buildings equipment for manufacturing and for construction and all that. So I don't know. We'll see.
Sure. It's always an indicator of, you know, where we're headed and so forth. And it's, you know, it was always one to watch. It was, you know, kind of like GM and, you know, it was the auto industry. And it has all changed. And it's, I mean, we can still look at the numbers, but again, things aren't coming back. Since things aren't going to be coming back, I mean, we know that Washington, and they are going to create another stimulus package. Most likely, it's going to be another $1 to $2 trillion. It'll come out in the middle of the summer. It'll go to individuals. It'll go to the states. But what happens when, you know, look at all these people that are out there protesting? They don't have jobs. What's going to happen when all of those programs expire in the end of July? Butch, it's just, I think things are going to get a whole lot nastier in the real near future.
I guarantee it is. It's not just here, it's going to be worldwide, but I live here.
Yes.
Now, here's an article here that I guess is good news for one company. While the industry crumbles, one airline is making money hand over fist shipping pigs to China.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the aviation industry has been decimated as a result of the pandemic and its ensuing stay-at-home orders. One airliner is making money hand over fist in an unexpected way, shipping pigs to China in 747 jumbo jets. Volga Dunair Group has flown more than 3,000 breeding pigs to China from France this year, according to Bloomberg. They are flown almost 6,500 miles in wooden crates, are being used to restore livestock levels in China. From there, they are being used to address the company's pork shortage. The country's swine shortages were exacerbated by the pandemic in China, and imported 225,000 tons of pork from the U.S. in the first 4 months of 2020 alone. The number exceeds the 245,000 it imported in all of 2019. Volk Dimmer Group also had been shipping masks, hazmat suits, medical equipment, and street disinfecting equipment to places like Russia and Germany. The company saw the sales skyrocket 32% to $630 million this year. So one company is prospering. One airlines. Shipping health care needs and pigs.
I wonder what they're going to do with those. Are they going to turn them back into passenger planes after they take the pigs over?
Good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Might be having an interesting smell for a while, but I don't know.
Just curious.
And we're seeing, of course, all these protests and riots. And again, protesting and rioting are two different things.
Yes, they are.
Entirely different things. Protesters sometimes have a legitimate right and duty and a necessity to protest. But rioting is never the answer. You saw where a black fella got shot in Atlanta, and of course the officer was fired, and the police chief quit. But a white woman burnt down the Wendy's that night. A white lady burnt down why? Was she trying to cause trouble for the blacks, or what's going on here?
Like it was this Wendy's fault.
Yes, that's how it was. Wendy's fault. You're right.
It was Wendy's fault. But you know what, Butch?
Unbelievable.
You know what? A lot of these situations, and again, I'm not taking. This is just an observation. And I guess because I heard a question yesterday, Ben Carson was being interviewed on I can't remember who the person was interviewing him, and the guy asked him if he had the conversation, if his parents gave him the conversation about how to treat and respect police officers. He says, yeah, I got that conversation on, you know, how to act and respect and behave and so forth. And the person that was asking the question, he says, well, I never got that conversation. I didn't have to have that. I didn't get that conversation. So he was trying to make the point that the blacks have to behave differently and so forth. But isn't it just about respect, period? I mean, isn't it just I didn't have that conversation, but I was told to respect the police. Not because of anything ill that would happen to me. It's just they were there. If you had problems, you went to them. They protected. When you get stopped for a speeding ticket, it's, you know, yes, sir. You know, here's my... I mean, you don't even have to say yes, sir, but, you know, here it is. You do what they ask, and you go off on your merry way. But and I'm not saying that these people deserve that. Of course they didn't. But there would have been a totally different outcome if they were being arrested and they sat his butt in the car and he stayed there.
Yeah.
Just like the guy that was shot. He didn't deserve to be shot. I saw it, but it never would have happened if when they put the cuffs on him that he complied. And am I wrong?
Well, it's a huge, hard situation. You're right, in the sense that, I'll just share this article in too. But police officers are quitting all over America. They're fed up. They've had it.
Yeah.
They're quitting, and I understand respect. And fortunately, what police officers that I've interacted with have always been gentlemen, polite.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But respect is something that we should show all people, and I try to do that. I don't care whether you're black, white, pink, or purple. I respect you until you prove me wrong. I'm going to treat you like an individual should be treated until you make me do otherwise. And if I'm confirmed by a policeman for speeding, then I was speeding. Whether I agree with him or not makes no difference. I was speeding, and he caught me. If I didn't do anything wrong and they confront me, and I'll try to, do my best to be polite and explain to them what's happened here.
Right.
I don't know, Mel. It's a touchy thing because there are times, obviously, the cops overstepped their bounds. That's happened many times. So it's touchy. But this is a boil now that's about to erupt on a body. It's right ready to go. It's ready to blow up because people are so sensitive about all this. This article about the police quitting says, even during the best of times, being a police officer in one of America's major cities is extremely stressful, and there are definitely not, and these are definitely not the best of times. In 2020, the entire profession has become the target for a vast nationwide outpouring of anger and hatred. It doesn't matter if you're a good officer or a bad officer, because everyone is being lumped together. Every single person that puts on a police uniform understands they are putting their lives on the line every day, but now that is even more true than ever. All over the U.S., police officers are being attacked and abused and targeted for violence. And I can't even imagine what it's like to never be able to let your guard down because someone could assault you at any moment. And even if you never get physically attacked, most officers must still endure the mental torment of knowing that your vast numbers of people want them dead simply because they have chosen to serve in the police. For Winchester, Tennessee, police officer Dustin Elliott, that was one of the main factors that caused him to quit his job. Yes, I understand, folks. I do know there are many wrong people wearing badges and guns. No doubt. That's true. That's very true. But some people say, well, there are no good cops. I disagree. They may not know the job. They may not know the Constitution. But they're not out there to harass you. Not all of them. But what the police force quit, and let's say the older ones quit. I know someone who did. young ones come over, young ones come in who maybe are, they have a different attitude. Hey, let's face it, they are raised by the same society that raised us, your children and grandchildren. If your children are disrespectful, those cops were raised in the same society. Now they're given a badge and a gun. Maybe they should change. That should all change. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Well, how they were raised, the morals they were taught, the standards they were taught will stay with them probably most of their lives. Our society came because we lost our morality. We lost it all. Cops didn't have to be tough, and the people in communities treated them with respect because that's what you done for them. But today it's a different world. The people in themselves are not moral, and the cops are not moral as a whole. Not all of them, but a lot of them. So we're seeing the problem, folks, is simple. It's not lack of disrespect. It's lack of moral character in people today. It's going. It all ties together. Now, that's what's happening. It breaks my heart, but I see it every day. I do. And it hurts to see it happen that way. It just tears me up because we lived in a society where I grew up as a whole different society. Yeah, we were going down the road the wrong way, I'm sure. But I didn't used to. I never thought about cops being anybody being bad. They were policemen. Just like preachers, we respected them.
Yeah.
Gosh, a lot of time already.
And we have to.
I just get started.
We have to respect that we are out of time. And, well, I guess you'll be joining me tomorrow as your normal day is on, our normal time is tomorrow. You'll be here, and Dave Allen will be back on Wednesday. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
A single penny left for me. That's too bad.